This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you out on the west side? If so, stop in at Rally House at Fairview Park because we're sitting here. We're right at the front door. When people go out, you hear that ding. How about that? That worked out beautifully.
Good timing.
Yeah. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner is Andy Baskin. That would make us Baskin and Phelps. Menigan sitting on my left laughing uncontrollably. He's been given a shopping list before he leaves Rally House today.
Oh, he has?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, it's the way it goes. You know, you're sitting here, and they're immediately like, hey, here's a – can you knock out this Christmas shopping for this person and this person? I'm like, I'm working. Like,
so after we break everything
down – what are you
down,
doing during
Dan,
the show anyway?
Dan
you're just
shopping.
Listening. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm just listening.
Exactly. Deshaun Watson's press conference coming up here in the 1 o'clock hour. We're expecting him momentarily. We'll see if that happens.
Hey, you know, Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima take their show beyond 6 to 10 on Tuesdays and Thursdays with their emerging podcast scene. Listen live on 92.3 The Fan Extra Channel on the Odyssey app at 92.3thefan.com, presented by X10 Technologies, or check out every single archived episode.
There you go. Kevin Stefanski, boom, Deshaun Watson gives us the best chance to win. He said that on Monday. Andy, I don't believe that. Necessarily. I hope that for Kevin's sake that that's true. He's sticking with him. That's what they're going to do. I get it. I would love to see a change at quarterback because I think your offense is a mess right now and something has to happen. I think you've got to change something up and make this thing a better situation. And if I don't want to see them change the head coach, I don't have any issues. They don't need to change the play caller. I think Kevin does a fine job with that. Ken Dorsey's been here for 6 games as offensive coordinator. I don't know that that's the move to make. What's the move to make to change up an offense? Apparently, it's trade the number one wide receiver.
At least that's the immediate impact. I don't know. They need to it's about getting on the same page. And at this point, it feels like it might be even – it's just I don't know. Is it ever too late? I mean, obviously, there's still a shot that they might be able to do something here for the rest of the season. I just don't – I'm not feeling it. I just – they need to get in sync, and I don't know, is that the shakeup they needed to kind of rally the troops to say, guys, the season's not completely gone yet? I don't know. I think the other way to look at it is they're thinking towards the future, and so it's hard to be a Browns fan sometimes, you know?
Who steps up now that Amari Cooper is a Buffalo Bill? We haven't seen much, if anything, out of Elijah Moore since he's been here.
Mm-mm.
Is this Elijah Moore's opportunity? Does Jerry Jeudy finally reach the potential that he wasn't able to reach in Denver? I think the guy is Cedric Tillman. I think he's the guy who's an unknown here. I think Jerry Jeudy is a good NFL wide receiver. I don't think he's a great one. Maybe he can become a great one here. Maybe without Amari here, maybe he can do that. He had to deal with Cortland Sutton in Denver. But Jeudy was the guy they brought in to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen in Denver, and they obviously got rid of him. They didn't want to pay him.
You know, we haven't talked about it yet, but I don't – what do you think Kadarius Toney's looked like on the practice squad? They have another
that's
spot.
Andy, that's a great point.
I mean, I'm just throwing names out right now because Michael Woods is also sitting on that practice squad. So,
but Kadarius Toney, and I think it's a great point, didn't work overall in New York, and he didn't work in Kansas City.
I know.
I wonder if it works here.
I don't. Is there an opportunity? Is he the guy they elevate, or do they go out and try to get another wide receiver? I mean, if you're sitting there and you're, you know, Tony or Michael Woods, both those guys are probably going to have an opportunity to bust through onto the active roster. Jamari Thrash hasn't, you know, really had a chance, but, you know, he's an active guy on the roster. So you're going to have a chance to see some other guys play. It's just let's just see what they can do with the opportunities. Like, I don't know, maybe Deshaun's looked good with another wide receiver in practice, and we're just not hearing about it because, you know, media doesn't get to see practice. So
I would think, agree or disagree, I would think Tillman gets the first shot.
Yeah, I would too.
To be the guy who gets those extra reps.
It's the investment, right? He was a third-round pick.
Well, and they made him a third-round pick for a reason, and he's an interesting guy. You know, a bigger wide receiver, fast, good skills. It's interesting to me. Bill is in Parma. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
You guys, great discussions today about this.
Thanks.
You know, I like your feedback on this, and that is there's nothing about this Amari Cooper being traded that I find to be a positive thing.
Bill, I couldn't agree with you more on that.
Well, I appreciate that because it perplexes me. And the one thing is, and you guys have already discussed this, and that is, and not only the Browns, but a lot of teams, the third and the sixth round draft picks, I mean, you want them to turn out, but that's never a sure thing, and everybody knows that. The other thing that worries me the most is, at some level, Amari Cooper is not a bad guy. There's no information out there that says he's a discontent in the locker room anywhere. This tells me, and I'm not sure, that there is something wrong in that locker room, that there is something wrong with this organization right now, and that he wanted out of here. And this is not typical for a guy that's a pro. Pros will play till the contract's over with, and then they'll, you know, make more money if they play good. This is a reasonable guy that he put his career on the line and said, I want out of this place. I'm not playing good. I can't play good here. Get me out of here.
Well,
is that how you perceive it?
No, not necessarily, because I just don't. I mean, yeah, he's been on other teams before, and it hasn't worked out there either. So that may be part of it. I don't know. You come off of a season like he did last year. He and Joe Flacco definitely had chemistry. We saw that in the right. Houston game.
Right.
I mean, and we'll remember that game forever. I think that when his name came up in trade talks and trade rumors in the offseason, he probably felt like, hey, what more do I need to do here to be able to solidify myself and be able to play? I can't believe that wouldn't get into your psyche. And he had said, and this was brought up in the press conference today, that he felt like he needed to focus more on practice, that he needed to treat practice like, you know, game time. So, in some ways I see that Baker Mayfield narrative going on in the background there too, where, you know, Baker was the man, and then
right.
The Browns wanted to dip their toes in the water with Deshaun Watson. And Deshaun said no. Let's not forget that. Deshaun said no. And then all of a sudden, the Browns were scrambling to get Baker to be happy. And Baker's like, forget you. I thought I was the man. So I don't know. I do think it's a professional thing. I think you got to check your ego at the door.
Hey, sorry to cut you guys off. We now go out to Berea, where Deshaun Watson speaks
Thanks
at the podium.
You guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Super, super nice to be able to have his presence, his energy, his work ethic, and just, just to have Chubb in the backfield. You know, he definitely means a lot, not just for this offense, but for this community and this organization. So definitely, you know, that excitement and hopefully that spark that we need to take it to another level.
You guys are all motivated by a lot of things, but what is it like to see it? How inspiring is it to see a guy like that work that hard to give back after his second major surgery on his
neck? Yeah, I mean, it's super exciting. But we know that the work that, you know, from day one of last year that he was going to put in that work. You know, he looked all of us in our eyes and said that he wanted to be back. And he'll probably tell you that he wanted to be back a little bit sooner. But, you know, protocol is definitely key, you know, in health. So, I think it's the perfect time for us to get him back, coming back home, divisional rival, and get him some touches and let him, you know, get back to playing football again.
What are your feelings about the Amari trade?
My feelings, you know, the biggest thing is, of course, you know, Coop is my brother. You know, these last 3 years we got to know each other, not just on the field, but especially off the field, hanging out in the off season. My family's hanging out with each other. You know, he helped me through some tough times that I was dealing with and vice versa. So, you know, it's definitely tough to see a brother and see a teammate that mean a lot, not just for myself, but for the locker room, you know, get traded away. But, you know, you got to trust the organization and what AB and Kevin and those guys upstairs have planned. And, you know, that's out of my control. But, you know, at the same time, you know, we're definitely going to miss him, and we appreciate everything he brought for this team and this organization.
Field, why do you think that you guys were just never able to form that connection, you know, through the first 6 games of the season?
I mean, it's just that's how the game goes sometimes. Sometimes you have some games that don't. Teams scheme it up differently, you know, new system, and just trying to find that rhythm. And, yeah, it just didn't go that way the first couple games.
Doesn't the trade make your job even a little tougher going forward?
I mean, I trust all the guys in that room, and I trust that plan that Kevin and Ken is going to create for us to be able to go out there and execute and try to put up points to win and play winning football.
Now that you're into the work week, what gives you confidence that you guys can get better results this week?
I'm always confident. You got to have confidence stepping on the field. If you don't have no confidence, there's no reason for you to be out there on the field. So the biggest thing for us is just to continue to try to master this plan and go out there and play hard and try to execute at a high level. This is NFL football, so, you know, every Sunday is an opportunity for us to get better and go get a W.
You feel like the trade sends a bad message to the rest of you guys who are here trying to win that they're willing to get rid of one of your best players?
Man, that's part of the business. I mean, at the end of the day. So, for me, it's not a bad message. I've been in this league for 8 years, and I've seen it happen over time. So, you know, it's whatever what the front office and organization feel is best for, you know, I guess the organization and for that player. So, you know, for me, it's just, you know, it's part of the business, and it's part of how this world kind of goes. So you gotta control what you can control and accept it.
Do you think that the relationship between Amari and the front office really was too fractured after the Brandon Ayuk trade rumors earlier this year?
I have no idea. I didn't speak on that. I didn't get involved with any of that.
Do you feel like, you know, Amari admittedly wasn't having his best season. He struggled, especially in the first 2 games, said he wasn't really practicing as hard or as well as he should have. After some of that trade stuff or whatever, do you feel like he was 100% giving his all to this football team during the week and on game day?
Oh, for sure. I mean, Coop is not going to step on the field if he's not going to give 110%. You know, and he came in every day. He worked hard. He never complained. He was around his teammates. He was joking and laughing when we had some free time. He was hanging out with guys, hanging out with all of us. He would go out there. He would teach the younger guys what they needed to be taught. So there was never no bad energy or bad vibes when Amari was in this building. So, like I mentioned before, he was a big part of this locker room, big part of this leadership that we had on this team. He was a big part of this organization these last couple of years. And he's going to be a great addition for Buffalo. And like I said, we're going to miss him, and I wish we could have, you know, stuck it out the rest of the year. And, you know, we never know what could have happened, but, you know, it's all going to be good for sure.
Did anything from that last game give you encouragement that the offense is starting to turn around?
I mean, every week we have encouragement. We have flashes and things like that. It just comes down to, you know, the self-inflicted things that we keep speaking on each and every week. So we got to continue to just, whatever we're going to do, find ways to not, you know, shoot ourselves in the foot when we get down and when we get a chance to score points, and especially at the end of the games. You know, I think the last 3-4 games have came down to that drive, and, you know, we just haven't finished those drives when we came so close.
And then just to follow, what can you as a quarterback do to tell your offensive linemen, don't false start, other than say, don't false start?
I don't know. I think you just answered that. I think you just answered that question for me. I don't know.
Throwing it vertically more need to be part of the improvement.
you guys get it down the field more?
Yeah, I mean, we got to – that's the tricky part is this, you know, a team's, you know, they try to show a lot of, you know, shell. I think last week was the first time where we've seen a little bit less posts, you know, posts on shell. They got one high. But, I mean, yeah, that's something that we haven't done this year, and we need to do a little bit more for sure. But that comes with time and repetition and actually doing it, like you mentioned. So we'll see how the game plan kind of folds out. And if teams want to come up and play us in a lot more man like we've been seeing, then we're going to have to do that.
Have you seen enough out of guys like Jerry and Elijah and Cedric to think you guys can fill that void? And how do you get them, I guess, to take that next step?
Most definitely. I think I've seen that. I know that each one of those guys and the rest of those guys are capable of making big plays for this organization and for this team. And the biggest thing is just really be able to, you know, build that confidence, build that relationship that I had, you know, with Coop and some of the other guys that we had here before, and just keep telling them, hey, play fast, play smart, know what to do, and then, you know, whenever the opportunity comes, just be ready for that ball. And, you know, once we can do that, then I think, you know, anything can happen and anything can be special.
It seems like you guys, or the offense in general, didn't necessarily adapt quickly enough to the whole new spread, the RPO schemes, and all the different new things that you guys were trying to do. Would it be helpful to you and everyone else if you guys can dial some of that back and just really focus on the things that you know have worked for you in the past, even here?
No, I don't think we should shy away from anything that we've been doing. I think that we need to master the things that we are doing, that we are great at. And, you know, for us to be able to do that, we have to all be locked in on the plan. And not just the players, but the coaches also. You know, and I think we get on that same page. And we've been building towards that each and every week. And I think that, you know, we have those opportunities and we have those flashes. It just might be a little bit, you know, slip up here and there. And, you know, each and every week we always have one or two plays that could have went our way and we'll be having a different conversation. But, you know, we are where we are, you know, for whatever reasons. And you know, have to, you know, sit back and watch the tape and find out those things that, okay, what are we having success with? How can we continue to do these things and be positive and do it effectively with different guys in different positions. So, yeah, I don't think we should try to, you know, go back to what we've been doing previously. You know, it's a new offense, it's a new year, so we have to just lock in on what the plan is now.
Like Elijah Morris, he's somebody that you feel there's so much more that he has to offer. Are you looking forward to maybe really getting him a lot more involved?
Yeah, it's a great chance for him to have that opportunity. You know, get more targets, have opportunities to be able to, you know, step up one-on-one matchups and show what he is. And I believe in what I've seen, he's capable of doing. And, you know, we're super excited for that. And I think he's super excited for the opportunity also.
People underestimate how good this wide receiving core can be moving forward, even without Amari.
I mean, yeah, they're going to do that because we haven't been able to show those results like we wanted to. So, you know, we got to go out there and prove it. At the end of the day, we can't just look on paper or we can't just talk about it. We got to go out there and show what we can. And you know, this is a great opportunity because it's the next opportunity for us to be able to show that. And you know, I think those young guys and the guys that haven't been able to play a lot that's going to get those opportunities, I think they're super excited and motivated to be able to show that.
So this being the first division game of the year, are the coaches preaching like this is the restart of our season right here?
Not so much the restart, but it's a new start. You know, it's another opportunity. Each and every week is year 0-0. You're just trying to be 1-0 by the end of Sunday. And if we can do that, then we just got to take it from there. You know, we understand that it's a divisional game. We understand that it's a good Bengals team that is coming in here they just got a victory on the road, playing real good football. But at the same time, you know, we got to focus on us mastering what we can do great and then, you know, knowing our opponent so we can go out there and execute against them.
Friend of yours, Mike Williams, might be available now that the Jets traded for Devontae Adams. Is he somebody that you would maybe like to bring on board and see if he can't help you guys?
Again, that's AB, Kevin, and those guys up front. But, you know, if it happened, of course, you know, I love Mike. You know, that's my dog, that's my boy. And, you know, he's definitely a great addition. But, again, that's more, you know, for AB and Kevin.
You good?
Rob, yesterday that the league's still reviewing your case from the latest lawsuit. Have you met with the league?
I have not. I have not.
Thank you.
That was Deshaun Watson's press conference. Lots of little things in there. His former teammate at Clemson, Mike Williams, a Jets wide receiver. Is he suddenly available? That's interesting. Has not met with the NFL over the last lawsuit that was settled. That's interesting. And a lot of Amari Cooper talk. All that's coming up. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on some of it. We'll dig into Andy's brain. Is that all right?
Sounds good. There isn't a lot of digging to do, though.
For sure. I mean, Cooper's not going to step on the field if he's not going to give 110%. He came in every day. He worked hard. He never complained. He was around his teammates. He was joking and laughing when we had some free time. He was hanging out with guys, hanging out with all of us. He would go out there. He would teach the younger guys what they needed to be taught. So there was never no bad energy or bad vibes when Amari was in this building. Like I mentioned before, he was a big part of this locker room, big part of this leadership that we had on this team. He was a big part of this organization these last couple years. And he's going to be a great addition for Buffalo, and like I said, we're going to miss him, and I wish we could have, you know, stuck it out the rest of the year, and you know, we never know what could have happened, but you know, it's all going to be good for sure.
It was Deshaun Watson just a few moments ago in his press conference in Berea talking about Amari Cooper, who is now a Buffalo Bill. The return on Amari, Andy, I'm impressed that they were able to get a third round pick in the deal.
What do you think happens if they wait till November 5th or they wait till the deadline? Did they get less?
I'll bet they would have received less.
I do, too. I think this was a good time to do it if they were going to do it.
Yeah, but Bill in Parma said something. He said, I don't see any positives out of this. And I agreed with him. And the reason I say that is this. Okay? Not a positive. He wasn't playing well this year. Not a positive. He and Deshaun didn't seem to click. Not a positive. Brown sent him a real clear message. They didn't want him back next year. Not a positive. He wanted to be paid more and probably wasn't real happy and went to social media when his name was in trade rumors with
right.
Brandon Ayuk. And not a positive. He was the best guy they had at a position that I think needs help.
I can't argue with you. I'm trying to think of any argument I have there.
There's nothing positive about him being traded except for possibly the fact that if you thought you had to do it, you turned it into a third, which I find hard to believe. I mean, good for them. Buffalo really wants him, apparently. And I do think the Devontae Adams trade to the Jets, the Bills' division rival, probably helped juice the skids on this thing a little bit.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a valid point. I think it's something to think about. I just don't know how much that would pressure the Bills to want to go out looking at the Jets. And I mean, the Jets are just a beast under their own right now with all the issues they have going on right there. So I don't know. I see where you're coming from on that. I just don't know. And maybe that's a catalyst. I just don't think it is. I can't believe that's an end-all, be-all for the Bills to say, all right, well, yeah, let's go get Amari Cooper because of what's going on with the Jets.
No, except for one thing. Remember, in Buffalo's situation, last year they had Stephon Diggs, who was clearly their number one guy, and they had Gabe Davis, who was a pretty good touchdown target. I believe he had 7 touchdowns last year for Buffalo, and he's now in Jacksonville. So they lost 2 top wide receivers. And I say top because it was at the top of their depth chart. And they kind of tried to replace him with a multitude of guys. And that hasn't really worked for them. So rather than sit there and in a season where they think they can do some things, wait to see what might happen, they made a move. And I give them credit for that. They made a move. And they gave Josh Allen, who arguably is the best quarterback in the league, another weapon. You know, he's clearly in the top 5, and they gave him a weapon. Now, I think Amari's a good NFL wide receiver. He's really good. I don't think he's great. But I think he'll step in there and do a really nice job and help some of the guys on their team and just give another layer of skill to that offense in Buffalo that could really help them. And I do think until somebody steps up here in Cleveland, that a position group that I thought was lacking in the first place is lacking even more now. Yeah. I mean, I got to be honest. Jerry Jeudy had 4 years in Denver and disappointed. Elijah Moore was pretty good his first year in New York, disappointed after that, got traded here, and hasn't shown much of anything. Cedric Tillman, young guy. We'll see where that what happens with Cedric.
Right.
Your Kadarius Toney thought is interesting.
Thrash. He's here. I mean, and they've got to...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Put spots, right. So why wouldn't you? Why
Thrash looked good in the preseason. A lot of guys look good in the preseason. We'll see. Cool Ray is in Bedford. Cool Ray.
Hey, Cool Ray.
Do you have a ding right anytime you want it, Cool Ray? Because we do.
Oh, yeah, man. Listen. Can my team do anything right? Like, and people keep saying that this was a good trade. This is so bad for the Browns. It's not even funny. Buffalo, I think we all can agree, has Super Bowl aspiration, has been for a long time now. So do you believe that they gave up a third-round pick for somebody who's going to sit the bench? This guy still has major value. That is a starting pick in the NFL, the third round. So my thing is this. We can't blame the receivers no more. We actually have to start looking at our offensive coordinator and our coach. Like, because we've been through this. Jeff, you've been through this a million times. So have I. We've seen this whole thing play out. If this was
I want to just strap in because this is supposed to be my first time going through this. Okay, go ahead.
Cool Ray, you left Andy out, and his feelings are hurt.
Oh my goodness! Were you on the show yesterday when your feelings were hurt?
No, I'm sorry,
yes,
Andy.
You were. I'm kidding. I'm just but kidding, Cool Ray.
We needed somebody positive to bring up Jeff. Jeff, when I get through off this call, that's all we did that for.
I hear you.
Is this: if this was another coach, and we start off 1-5, you guys and all the other sports we're talking about, it's time to fire this coach. Only reason
this guy's got a track record.
This guy's got
a track record that I like and I appreciate. You don't need a new coach.
Here's the track record. Last year, the defense won its 8 games. You guys said it. The defense won its 8 game. The offense was barely holding on last year. But the defense and Miles Garrett did that. And we made the playoffs. And he got credit for that. That's real. That's not making up. That's real.
Cool Ray, he hired the defensive coordinator. He's the head coach. And he called the plays in an offense that was pretty good last year, all things considered. And won with 4 quarterbacks. I'm sorry. The least of the issues with this football team is the head coach. I believe it. Is he the best head coach in the league? Nope, he's not. Is he a good enough coach to win with? Yep. Do I want to see where he might be able to take this team down the road? You're dang right I do. He's the least of the concerns.
I'm not firing the coach right now. I mean, for years we screamed about consistency, so this is where we are right now.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. We have spent the day at Rally House out in Fairview Park.
Yeah, you got about 15 minutes left if you want to get in the raffle for the Naylor jersey.
All kind of folks have come in, said hi, told us what they think about the Browns and left. It's been going on all day, Andy.
You got all these nice little notes. Be nice to your local bus driver. Got that one. Make sure that.
Oh, I didn't see that
so
one.
Yeah, like, when do we just put up the therapy couch?
I mean,
and just let people lay down, vent, and then walk out.
Oh, my God. It's been a Browns Therapy Wednesday live at Rally House in Fairview Park.
All I know is I'm looking at that 7-foot LED lit inflatable Brutus Buckeye over there. May have to go home with me.
Every time the ding goes off, the next person can lay down on the couch and vent.
Here's the Kent Stater taking home Brutus Buckeye.
Why does that matter? I can't be an Ohio State fan?
Dan is in Lakewood. Hello, Dan.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, what's going on? I'm getting a little tired of people picking on a coach. You know, I got problems with him myself, but the offense and the play calling, that's not one of them. I think the quarterback is the obvious answer. I think you could just, like everybody said before me, go back and look at Flacco. When he came into the offense, you started seeing first downs. You started seeing the chain moving. You started seeing completed passes. And I'm just calling Flacco, you know, he's a competent quarterback. I think with a really good quarterback, we could have possibly been in the Super Bowl last year. And I don't think Stefanski all of a sudden forgot how to call plays.
That's Dan, I'd agree with you. I said that last
segment. Argue-free phone call.
Yep. I agree with him. Dano, what's up around the X?
Our X mentions, which are powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, and you can always send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads. Like a lot of people did here, sending us the Nick Chubb article basically saying, like, wow, this guy gets it. This guy really understands it. When you guys read that piece in the Players' Tribune, what did you think? Just sitting there for a guy who, and if you didn't get a chance to read it, it's worth the
read. I'm about halfway through
it. It's wonderfully written about how much he loves Cleveland and how his agent called him and said, for the first time in my career as an agent, a team called and said, the city wants Nick Chubb to be a part of this team. And if we got rid of him. I thought that was so cool when that was written in there.
I haven't reached that point yet, but I'll have to find it.
You'll get there.
I just think the quotes that are flying around today about from the piece just about wanting to, you know, give the fans back something. I think that's the key to the whole thing is that it's – I mean, you know, we always say, oh, he gets us, he understands us. But, I mean, you really could feel that emotion, you know, when he was smashing the guitar last year after he was injured. And, you know, what he means to the city and what he means to the team, it's hard to find athletes like that. It was funny because that Anderson Varejao last night at that Hall of Fame banquet got it. It's the same feeling. Like there are guys that come through our city that aren't from here. They play for, you know, they play for the name on the front of the jersey, not on the back, although the paychecks have their name on them. But at the end of the day, you know, they enjoy where they are and they enjoy making the fans happy. So, and they get it. They understand it.
And that's a good thing, isn't it? Bob is in Cleveland. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
So two things about this press conference. One, there was obvious strife going on with Amari Cooper. They can hide it as many times as they want. There was obvious strife going on. Two, I am so confused by this team. I think it was Mary Kate that asked the question if Watson should go back to the older play calls that actually worked for them. And he basically said, no, are you kidding me? You're not going to win games if you don't go back to what worked for you.
Well, what worked for them was something that they decided to change in some ways, Bob, because they brought in a new offensive coordinator and took a different route in hopes of enhancing the offense and enhancing the play of the quarterback. We haven't seen that yet, have we?
Nope.
I don't know that there's much more to say about that one, is there? Bill's in Kent. Bill, we got about a minute.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys, real quick. Jeff, I think the Cooper trade, look, we're making a big deal about it. To me, he wasn't going to be here next year. The season is at 1-5 is gone. Why not find out what we've got next year with some of these other young guys and whether they can gel. To me, the biggest thing, the real aspect of this, and you said it and Chris Rose said it, is what are you going to do with the third round pick? Because Barry's track record is not good. The only other thing I was going to say, and I'll hang up, is one of the things that Watson said in his interview was, or his press today, was somebody asked him, how do you make the linemen stop making mistakes? And he laughed. He said, I don't know. And I think I know. It's called a consequence. What consequence do these guys, we hear the same thing every week. We have to coach better. We have to play better. But nothing changes. And I know that they're depleted on the offensive line, but you can't continue to put up with this stuff or you're going to get the same result. My father told me years ago, he was a Depression era guy. He said to me about raising four boys, he said, the only advice I'll give you is don't ever make a threat when you're disciplining a child that you're not prepared to carry out. And the same is true when guys make mistakes. There has to be a consequence. I'll stop there.
Bill, thank you very much. Appreciate that. You know, we've talked about a need for change in the offense. Well, of course there's a need. You're 1-5, but we haven't seen anything, at least visible, and personnel, everything else. We'll see what might change. Well, one thing we do know, somebody who's not Amari Cooper will be getting extra reps at wide receiver this week. Yep. And maybe that helps. We'll find out. Moment of the show, Mac Robinson. What might we have?
Our moment of the show comes courtesy of Gary Barnage earlier talking about the Amari Cooper trade.
Yeah, I think there was, because obviously I know he wanted the contract and all that kind of stuff, and so he wasn't going to get it. So I think it also eliminates a distraction that could have been in the locker room. We don't actually know if there was or not in the locker room. Usually there's not. I know usually when everybody thinks there's distractions, the players aren't really distracted by it, but it could have been something just by him. I know he's had a lot of drops this year, but that's also been his MO throughout his career. But it also puts a strain on the rest of the players, but it also gives, like I said earlier, it gives other players an opportunity to step up and show what they can do. And it could be something that makes a positive for the team. It could allow the team to, hey, these guys could show out and turn things around a little bit.
That was Gary Barnage, former Browns tight end. We talked to Gary about the Browns cruise that's coming up in March. Chris Rose joined us at 11:20. If you missed anything from the show today, go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app on our website, 923thefan.com. Had a lot of things going on in today's show. Why Are We Smarter is brought to us by QC Kinetics, the leader in regenerative medicine. If you're in pain, give QC Kinetics a call, 216-770-5488. We'll start with you, Daniel.
I'm smarter today, courtesy of our conversation with Ross Dellinger. A lot of great stuff in there, all about the possible rule change that's going to come in the aftermath of Oregon, the super conferences, all of that stuff. Give that a listen, 93 The Fan, wherever you get your podcasts. Great, great job by him.
Andy.
I'm smarter today also because of Ross Dellinger. I thought that, you know, just the fact that he brought up that the NCAA was just kind of thinking about and doing some kind of memorandum out to all the officials about Oregon's controversial late-game decision against Ohio State. And, you know, I give them credit. Oregon did something that no one else had done and figured out a way to kind of beat the clock in that game. And I thought their interview with Ross explained out everything that we needed to know.
Mac.
I'm smarter today because of the conversation with Gary Barnage. A lot of great stuff, both from his playing time and also giving perspective on the current team.
And I'm smarter today because I know the Rally House in Fairview Park has an absolutely fine alarm system letting you know when someone walks into the store.
Well played. Well played.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Fun being out here today. And the drawing coming up for the Josh Naylor jersey. If you were out here, you're registered, you'll be notified. So good luck to you. I'm Jeff Phelps.
I'm Andy Baskin. Be a hero. Be a real hero. Be an organ donor. Lifebank.org. We'll be back tomorrow at 10. Afternoon Drive takes you home next. See you, Cleveland. See you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jed Lipinski, and Gone South Season 4 will be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.